Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast today with
Shelly Brim Baggett
and Chip Brim.
What's your real name?
Billy's boy.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Charles Kent Brim.
bless the Lord. No, I just said that so you could say your daddy's name in there, Kent. Oh. But we're talking today about power, the dunamis power of God. And that when Brother Oral Roberts went home, and we're going to be talking about that next week too, I sat down in my prayer chair and I was seeking God for something he told me. He had told me there would be a major shift in the heavenlies when Oral went home. He told Oral, he corroborated it, Oral did, and he said something extraordinary will happen at my death. I was sitting in a chair praying about that when suddenly the Lord says to me this: Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lap the power, as if they run laps around it as if it were a burning bush. And then later he showed me an example of it in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood. She tapped the power, and the multitude lapped the power. Now, which power is God talking to us about? Well, we can tell by that scripture. Mm-hmm. There are, and I will send this to you if you just call us at 1-800-972-3447. I will send you a copy of these different words that are translated power in the New Testament and some scriptures that I've looked up and which tells you which is which, and especially with dunamis. There are six words translated power in the Greek words. One of them is dunamis. That's inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have dynamics and dynamo. And in the plural, it is also translated in the Bible as mighty works and the manifestations of power. Now, I haven't looked all those up yet, but I'm going to. There are other words translated power: kratos, strength; iskus, strength; energeia, energy; but then exousia, that's authority. Mm-hmm. But the one that the woman with, and it's the one God's talking to me about, that Oral Roberts knew how to tap, because the Lord gave me the example of the woman with the issue of blood. It says Jesus felt in his body that dunamis had gone out of him. Mm-hmm. That kind of power that has the ability to reproduce itself. Mm-hmm. And when Chip and I went out to Oral Roberts, and Chip was had an old football injury trying to come back, we went to his house, spent a day with him. He laid his hands on Chip. And Chip, what'd you feel?
I felt that power. And it was amazing. It was like a lightning bolt just shot through me. And he was excited about...
He got excited.
He got excited about that power and the feeling of it, because he asked me, did you feel that? And I said, mm-hmm. Yes. And we both were excited about it. Not only did I get my instant healing, but excited about that power.
Now, here's my question. Is that power available to all of us, that dunamis? Or is it just some specially anointed people like Brother Roberts and Brother Hagen and Paul and John G. Lake? Is it just for them? And, you know, a case could be made, and there are people who have special anointings. But I'm telling you, folks, what God is trying to get over to us and to me is, I believe it's available to all who are baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the first, in the Companion Bible, it gives dunamis, inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English dynamics and dynamo. And then it says, see Acts 1:8. So, in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus, you remember, he's being raised up from the dead. He has been raised up from the dead. He's been walking with them for 40 days. He goes out to the Mount of Olives, and he tells them, don't you leave town. Because, he says, you go in Jerusalem and you tarry. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, you shall receive power. Well, that could be one of six words. But if you have a Companion Bible or you have a Strong's, you can see which one is it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my Companion Bible, I looked and saw, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Mm-hmm.
All the church, there were only 120 members, and they were all in that upper room. And the dunamis power of God came on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were little ladies that had been following them, or whoever they were. I believe that the dunamis power of God, he wants us to learn how to tap it all of us. He wants mm-hmm. us to know what it means to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Mm-hmm. Now, Shelley's going to read something to you. And Shelley and I, John G. Lake. Well, first, before we read that, John G. Lake, John Graham Lake, he's the one that said, you know, bubonic plague germs died in his hands. You remember? Mm-hmm. And he knew about the power of God in him. Now, we went out, you remember? Both of you were there in that room. You're witnesses, too. We went out to California, and there was a church out in California, Mark and Brenda Thomas. Mm-hmm. And they said, we've got a young woman in our church and a man that we want you to meet, a young man.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You remember?
Yep.
And the young woman had come to their church, come to their prayer meeting, and her husband wasn't saved. And so they'd prayed till he got saved, and he got saved and came in. And she was kind of new to things, too. But she said to him, she said, you know, son, they're always talking, she said to her husband, not son, they're always talking about a man named John G. Lake. And she said, your grandmother's got your grandfather's Bible, and it's got a name on it, John Graham Lake. You think it could be the same one? So they brought that Bible down to, and it was. His grandfather was John G. Lake. He didn't even know him. Now, John G. Lake's daughter, was a friend of mine, and she had told me that they had prayed. He'd prayed for all of his family members to mm-hmm. come in. Well, there was one, wasn't out there, and didn't even know who his grandpa was.
And looked like him.
Yeah, looked like him. And he came, and they brought that Bible that morning. Now, I forgot my Bible that morning.
Mm-hmm.
I never forget my Bible. I might forget my purse, but I don't forget my Bible going to preach.
But when they passed it around,
they gave it to you first, Chip.
Yeah, and I grabbed it like hand on top, hand on bottom, and I said, I can't believe I'm holding, and I went, man, it's warm. I said, it's hot, so I grabbed Shelley's Bible, and it was freezing cold. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it was warm, and so everybody touched it, and you could still feel it.
Oh, the fire of God was in, I don't
and
know how it happened.
In it and everything.
He'd written in it. He'd written, is anything... Heaven too hard. Is anything too hard?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had written, heaven is not far away. Mm-hmm. But he knew about that power of God. Now, John G. Lake's daughter, we came to be friends with her. And she came and brought to Brother Hagin a lot of sermons that John G. Lake had written and letters. And the Copelands put them in a book. We're going to make that book available to you for $10 this week. You need to be reading about a man who knew about the power of God. Now, he had great power manifest through him in Africa. And all those stories are in this book. Then he came back to America, and he went to Washington, Seattle, and then he went to Portland, Oregon. In Portland, he lived in this house, which was across the street from Mount Tabor Park. And he was in this house as the last place he lived. And he was really, his daughter told us, he was sad because he had seen a waning of the power. He had seen great power manifest in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Azusa Street. And then he had gone in that power, and then he saw that power wane. And so it was the middle of the night. He gets up. He walks from his house over to Mount Tabor, and this happens. Now, Shelley and I, we got in his house. We went in the house. The man had bought the house from John G. Lake.
Yeah,
he had a hospital. He had a hospital bed in the living room.
Remember, his wife was dying, and he brought her home to that house to die, and she never died.
And she didn't die. She got well.
Okay. So
she got better. So he said, they tell me some people are always coming to this house.
He was like 90-something.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, man, I don't know what it is, but I'm healthy as can be. I'm driving a car everywhere.
He said, they tell me some man, a great man lived here, and people are always coming here. So we asked, and we walked out that back door just like this vision. So Shelley's reading from the book, and if you get the book, you can read the whole vision. We're only going to read part of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is page 139, entitled The Portland Vision. It was in May 1970. He could not sleep, so he walked in the shadows of the tall trees in Mount Tabor Park. Quote, through the park is a footpath coming down through the trees that leads out to the street where we live. And in my vision, I was seemingly out in the street at the foot of this footpath. And as I looked up in the park, I was attracted by a quite brilliant light far up in the park. It was very slowly coming down the pathway to the street. I stood somewhat surprised, supposing it was some nightman on some duty in the park, probably searching for something or somebody. As it approached, I discovered that, instead, it was an angel presence, and the brilliance was an illumination surrounding him. He stood a few feet from me and said to me, I have come to answer your prayers.
Now, let me interrupt
come
right here.
Come with me.
What he was praying about is, what happened to the power?
Hmm. Is that right?
Yes, that's what he was praying about.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it seem to wane? Now, the angel takes him all over the earth that night, and they go to several cities. You can read about it when you get the book. But then, take it up back there, right where I've got it in yellow at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I discerned the heart of the angel was overburdened. This is John G. Lake continuing. And in answer to this, the angel said, quote, human selfishness and human pride have consumed and dissipated the very glory and heavenly power that God once gave from heaven to this movement as you have beheld it.
Now that's worth
That's the answer right there.
Yeah.
Human
there had
selfishness
been great power
and human pride
manifested in Azusa Street in that great outpouring, but human selfishness and human pride had caused it to have to
Which
wane.
Which walks out of love.
Walks outside of the law of love. Now go on from there.
Then he goes on, John says, we were now at the foot of the pathway again. He took a step or two away, and in sort of despair, my heart cried out, angel, these are all struggling for want of an ideal. What constitutes real Pentecost? What ideal should be held before the minds of men as the will of God exhibited through a movement like this? During all this time, I'd carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, he opened to the book of Acts, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven, and proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. And then in all capital letters it says, strive for this, contend for this, teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. When the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God.
All right. So the angel took his finger. He went down the book of Acts. He said, this is the power. And Jesus said, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Throughout all the book of Acts, this and this alone, the angel said, pray for it. Teach the people to pray for it. So it answers my question. Is it just for Oral Roberts? Is it just for someone else? No. How that book of Acts was is the way God wants it to be today. Now you can get this book, this John G. Lake book from us. We're making a special radio offer for $10. Normally sells for more. It's a huge book. And we'll also, if you ask for it, we'll send you a copy of these scriptures. And we want you to be sure to be with us tomorrow when we talk more about this. This is Billy Brim, Shelley, and Chip, and
Brandon.
Brandon! Mm-hmm. And you can write us if you want. You can write us at Billy Brim, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri. And this is all of us saying to you, shalom, shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow. When we meet again.